You may be seated. And if you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we'll be looking at today. Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. If you please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we do thank you for your word this day. I pray now, as your word is proclaimed, that you would work in spite of my weaknesses in proclaiming that word, that your people would be edified and that you would be glorified. We thank you for your word, and we pray that your spirit would make your truth clear to us and only your truth would be proclaimed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are blessed to focus our attention on the peace that we have with God through our Savior, Jesus Christ. We as believers in Christ rejoice this day as we celebrate that once for all sacrifice that has been given for us. We rejoice in that simple gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. With all of the messages in our world today, and it's very difficult to know what to believe in the noise of the world, this is the message of truth. You will not find truth in the culture. You will not find truth by following politicians or scientists or athletes or movie stars. We cannot make an idol out of man in any way. However, we do find truth in the pages of Scripture. We do find truth in the old story of sin and redemption. And let us not forget the breadth and the depth of that story. We cannot merely start at the fact that Jesus died and he rose again. The Bible does not start with the four Gospels. That message is a culmination of many, many years of God's faithfulness and man's sinfulness. It's a story of God's grace after man's fall into sin. How grateful are you today for God's patience in your life? How grateful are you today for God's love in your life? Do we really understand the message of sin and redemption? Do we really understand what God has given to us in his word? And the repetition that he built into that Hebrew culture with all of those daily sacrifices for hundreds of years, all pointing the way to that one ultimate sacrifice of his Son. And that weekly repetition that you and I are blessed to share in the gathering together as the body of Christ, morning and evening, for worship on the Lord's Day. And the visible reminders in our sacraments of that sacrifice of Christ. We are blessed when we are able to gather around the Lord's table in communion and remember Christ's death until he comes again. We are blessed when we view a baptism and we remember the cleansing that we have in Jesus Christ. We remember through those means of grace what he has done for us. Do we remember what we have been saved from? Do we acknowledge our sin and the debt that was paid for us? Are we truly grateful for what happened upon that cross? Do we understand the message of the empty tomb? I hope so. Paul builds his case throughout the letter of Romans of God's grace and the peace that is now available to us because of what Jesus did. And I hope this is not a boring story to you. I hope that you never tire of hearing the truth. Do not tune out week to week as believers in this congregation gather together to study God's word. Feast upon it. May God give us a hunger for his word, his truth. Only then can we better be salt and light in the culture around us and show hope to a world that is in desperate need of hope. Do you understand the message of salvation? Do you have peace with God today? Do you understand justification by faith alone? Romans 4 verses 1 through 3 states, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he is something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to scripture alone, to the glory of God alone." Do we believe that? Are we holding on to these truths? Do we truly believe these as truths? Let's look here at Paul's declaration of peace with God in Romans 5, 1 through 11. And if you do have your Bibles, I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we work through this passage of Scripture. In verse 1, we read these words by Paul again. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This verse is a sermon in and of itself. We can simply focus on this one verse today, and that's an entire message right there. But this section of Scripture is like walking into a mine that's filled with gems and simply being able to pluck them off the walls. There's so many truths here that we will probably not cover all of them adequately. I encourage you to spend some time in the book of Romans this week. Take the time to read what comes before chapter 5 and what comes after this section in chapter 5. There are many great riches in the book of Romans. But we know that Paul is speaking to believers in Christ. This letter is addressed to those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, to the saints of God in Rome. We have been justified by faith. We have been justified by faith, not by works. This is an important distinction of our faith. There is nothing in us that can save us. Our works cannot save us. We do not meet God halfway in our salvation. We cannot earn forgiveness from God. We are declared righteous only because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and only because of his sacrifice are we redeemed. So what is justification? If Paul states here that we have been justified by faith, we need to understand what that word justification means. Justification is an act of God's free grace unto sinners, in which he pardons all their sins, accepts and accounts their persons righteous in his sight, not for anything wrought in them or done by them, but only for the perfect obedience and full satisfaction of Christ by God imputed to them and received by faith alone. God's free grace. God pardons us and he declares us righteous because of the perfect obedience of his Son. His righteousness is imputed to us, and because of that we have peace with God. Christ has taken those who were enemies of God, as we'll read later in this passage, and he has reconciled us to God. We have been declared righteous by faith alone. Do you believe in what Jesus Christ has done for you? Do you trust in Christ alone for your salvation? Too many people in our world today are trusting in something other than Christ alone. We've been taught falsely that we can earn our salvation or that we can have a hand in our salvation in some way. We stand upon Christ and Him alone. Salvation is all of Christ and none of us. And this peace that we now have is a fruit of the righteousness of Christ. We are now at peace with God. Verse 2, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access to God's grace by faith. There is only one way to the Father, and it is through the Son. Christianity is exclusive. All roads do not lead to heaven. There are not many paths to God. There is nothing noble in man seeking his own way to God in all of these different religions. Every other religion other than Christianity is false, and all who practice them are on the road to hell. Sincerity will not get you into heaven. Good works, a good effort, will not get you into heaven. Christ alone. John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Only through Jesus Christ. That's why the resurrection is so important. Jesus Christ conquered the power of death and hell. Jesus Christ conquered the grave. And we rejoice in that. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So I ask you, are you rejoicing today? Are you rejoicing today? Is this not a day of celebration? I know we're Presbyterians, but we can still rejoice. Is not every Lord's Day a day in which we celebrate our faith? And shouldn't each week be a time of rejoicing? Sunday should be a great day of celebration for us. Let us rejoice today in what God has done. Let us rejoice in our salvation. Let us give thanks to God for His grace and His kindness to us. No one deserves heaven. No one deserves forgiveness. In fact, in Romans 3, Paul makes the case that there is no one who is righteous, no one who seeks after God. We're born in sin. Romans 3, verses 10 through 18, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We have a sin nature that makes us enemies of God. We need redemption. We need grace. And it is only by the grace of God that we can stand in grace today. By God's grace alone have you been saved, as we looked at in Ephesians chapter 2. But we not only rejoice in hope of the glory of God, but Paul reminds us that this does not mean that the Christian life is all devoid of pain and of suffering. Contrary to popular opinion and modern false theology that is being taught in many churches today, becoming a Christian does not make all trouble and all pain go away from your life. There is suffering. There is even persecution. We will be at odds with the world. How will we deal with those things? Will we stand in God's grace? Verses 3 through 5, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, I understand when Paul says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's easy for us to rejoice in, the hope of the glory of God. But wait a minute here, Paul. Who rejoices in suffering? There are not many bestseller books out there saying, rejoice in your sufferings. Look forward to pain. The world tries to sell us the opposite message, though. If you're suffering today, then it must be because of your great sin. If you get sick today, then it must be because you are being judged in some manner. As Christians, we're called to rejoice in our sufferings. Why is that? Well, Paul tells us the reason right here. Because we know that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. One thing leads to another. If anything, I think that we can easily say in today's modern world that we don't know what it is to endure. We think that waiting in line for 10 minutes is suffering. In a world of instant gratification, suffering just doesn't fit. Take a pill to get rid of all pain. Eat whatever you like. Do what you want. We enjoy. We ignore the consequences of our behavior in so many ways, and we even seek to redefine what sin is so that we're not accountable to a holy God. As believers in Christ, we know that we are not promised a pain-free life. We are those who rejoice in suffering because we know that God has our best interests at heart. We trust in the sovereignty of God. A couple of months ago, I was listening to a news story that shared an interview with evangelist Luis Palau, who recently passed away. The interview was conducted within a few months of his death, and I was struck by a couple of things that he said in this radio program about his faith. When asked how he would like to be remembered, he said he hoped his sons would place upon his tombstone, "He wasn't a perfect man, but he sure loved Jesus." And I thought that was very wise. But when asked about his illness and his cancer diagnosis, he said, "Nobody wants to get sick, but I trust that my Father knows what is best for me." Can we say today that no matter what we are facing, I know and I trust that my Father knows what is best for me? We can rejoice in suffering today, not that we want to or desire to suffer or go out of our way to look for suffering, but because we know and we trust that our Father in heaven knows what is best for us and that He loves us. God takes us through suffering so that we will develop endurance that we need in life, so that we will produce the character that God wants to work in us, so that when we talk about hope to others, we know of what we speak. And that hope will not be fake and will not be manufactured, but genuine hope. 1 Peter 3, verses 13 through 17. "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." In this passage of Scripture in 1 Peter 3, where we talk about apologetics or giving a defense of our faith, speaking of hope, Peter is addressing this to those who are suffering in their faith. They are the ones who have hope. This too is a hope that comes out of suffering. This is not an empty hope. This is not merely rejoicing that everything goes well for me all the time. Paul tells the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord always, in all things. And that's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? But when we remember the truths that Paul is speaking here in the book of Romans, it's easier for us to rejoice in suffering because we know the end result and we know the hope that is coming. We hope in that which is yet to come. Although as believers in Christ we stand today in hope, we are redeemed, but we also long for what is coming, the assurance of that which is not yet fully experienced. And even in the midst of our suffering, we see here that Paul reminds these believers here at the end of verse 5 that God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We as believers have the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have a deposit, a guarantee of what is yet to come. We have been blessed by God. And the Spirit is working in us in our sanctification, molding us more and more daily into the image of the Son of God. We are blessed by this gift of God's Spirit. Verses 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ did not die for the righteous, but for the ungodly. He died for sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Some people today have the false notion that they need to clean up their own act before they can be accepted by God. In essence, saying, I need to save myself, and then maybe God will accept me. The opposite is really the truth. We need to recognize and we need to accept our own sinfulness. We are not pretty good people. We are not worthy of salvation. Other than the fact that God, in his wisdom and for his own good pleasure, chose to redeem us and to claim us for his own. That is what gives us value. All are lost in sin without Jesus Christ. We have to start with that premise first. We need a Savior because we are ungodly. Because we're stuck in sin. We're dead in sin. We cannot get to God on our own. And yet what wonderful news of God's grace here, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we rejoice in that fact today. We rejoice in that truth. God redeems sinners. Paul gives his testimony of this redemption in his own life in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 17. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted in ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We err when we think that we are not great sinners. When we compare ourselves to other people and we think, you know, I'm not so bad compared to that other guy over there. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And we rejoice in that fact. And as I said, we embrace that truth. And that gives us hope, not only for our lives, that God has redeemed us from destruction, but also for others who have yet to profess a faith in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the fact that God saves sinners. Verses 9 and 10. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. We have been justified by Christ's blood. We have been set free by that sacrifice. We remember Christ shed blood for us. It's his sacrifice that saves us from the wrath of God. And I think that we forget that from time to time. Before we came to Christ, we were under the wrath of God, deserving hell and deserving eternal punishment. We were enemies of God. These verses also put away another false notion and a false teaching in our world today. Have you ever heard the phrase before? God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. That's not a biblical statement or a biblical teaching. God does not separate the two. Oh. If we believe that phrase, then these verses here are false. If we believe that, then we might be tempted to downplay our sin and to think, you know, we're pretty good people despite some minor failings. But what does Paul state here? We have been saved by the blood of Christ from what? From the wrath of God. All of those who have not put their trust in Jesus Christ alone are today, at this very moment, sitting under the wrath of God. And as Paul states here in this passage, they are enemies of God. There is no middle ground. God chose to show compassion upon those who are His. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But man is not in and of himself good. John makes an even greater distinction in 1 John 3, verses 4 through 10. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or knows Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as He is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Now John there in 1 John is speaking of those in Christ who choose to continue on or choose to practice sinning. That is not the fruit that is evident of a changed life. Now we all struggle with sin, but we are not to practice it. We are not to desire it. We're not to strive to continue on in it. So there's a distinction in Scripture made between the children of God and the children of the devil. There are only two types of people in the world, Christians and non-Christians. Those who have been reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and those who are still enemies of God and who are still under His wrath and curse. We have been saved by the life of Jesus Christ. We rejoice in His active and His passive obedience. In Him there was no sin. He obeyed God's law perfectly. And we read of that moral law earlier in our service in Deuteronomy chapter 5. He went to the cross willingly. We rejoice in our Savior. Verse 11, more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We rejoice. We have been reconciled to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is all of Him and nothing of us. Salvation is found in Christ alone. That is why we celebrate the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Savior. That is why you and I rejoice that the tomb is empty and that He is risen from the dead. It is finished. In this passage of Scripture, Paul gives us several great truths to remember about our Savior and about our redemption, why we celebrate, why we as Christians rejoice. And I ask you again this morning, are you resting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Are you rejoicing today in these truths? And while a celebration, we do not deny the reality that life is difficult and suffering does come to us all. And we embrace and we rejoice in our suffering, not that we desire suffering, but because we trust in God and we trust in the result of that suffering, the effect that it has in our lives. We used to be enemies of God, and now we are called the children of God. Think of that truth on this Lord's Day. God has called you to Himself while you were still a sinner and under His wrath. And may we continue to pray that God would call more and more people unto Himself, that God would redeem those who are now under the wrath of God. May God fill this church and other churches to overflowing for His glory. Let us this day rejoice in our Lord. Let us rejoice in our King who is seated at the Father's right hand. Because he lives, we too will live. We have been justified by faith. We have peace with God. We have obtained access by faith into grace in which we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in our sufferings. God's love has been poured into our hearts. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have been justified by his blood. We shall be saved from him, by him, from the wrath of God. We were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. We shall be saved by his life. We have now received reconciliation. Believe and embrace these truths of God's word. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Please join me in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word again this day. We thank you for the truths of Scripture about our position in Christ. We pray that we would embrace these truths from this letter that Paul wrote to the saints in Rome. May we embrace the truth of salvation of Jesus Christ alone. And may you help us in our sanctification as we do remember that we do struggle with sin. We thank you that we do not have to trust in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the grace. Thank you that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Jesus' name we pray.